So our sermon series, Prayer Is, continues. And today we're going to talk about prayer changes us. But I'm going to share with you first a prayer that I say often. It goes something like this. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, mean, selfish, or eaten too much. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and I need a whole lot more help. That's my daily prayer. That's how it works. We can struggle with prayer, really. We can struggle to have meaningful prayer lives. Sometimes we're looking for those magic words, right? What are the magic words that I need to say, God, say to God, to get him to answer my prayer? I search for those magic words sometimes. Sometimes we go to God with our little post-it note list, right? You do this when you go to bed. Dear God, I'd like for you to take care of the following things while I'm asleep, and I'll pick them up in the morning, right? Or maybe you're like me and you fall asleep about halfway through that list. Now, let me just remind you, prayer's not like a telephone call, and you don't have to say amen to hang up. It's not like the line stays open or something, and you're not going to get billed for it either. We can find that our prayer life really becomes really one way, right? Dear God, take care of these things for me, please. Amen. And we don't really create any space in there for us to hear back from God. Because prayer really is intended to be a two-way communication vehicle. Not just a one-way, but two ways. Because what would we say we have? We have a relationship with God, right? We have a relationship with Jesus the Christ, right? And a relationship implies that it goes both ways. So we can struggle with our prayer life and find that it has just become one way. But the truth of the matter is that what we pray and how we pray, it matters. Not that we need to say the magic words, because God, and we'll talk about this some more, God knows our hearts. But what you say, what you pray, the truth is, it actually affects you as much or more than it may affect God. Because what you pray is coming out of you, right? And believe it or not, those words have an effect on you. There's a very famous passage from the book of Romans that's about prayer. Let me remind you that the whole book of Romans is one of the deepest theological books in the Bible. The theology that Paul presents there in the church to Rome is really deep. It's really heavy, man. There's some really important concepts that Paul brings out. Paul had always longed to go to Rome, but he was writing to a church that he had not founded. And he writes this really almost as an inoculation against bad theology. So he's sending this letter to the Romans saying, these are basically the proper way to look at these things. And his letter to the church at Rome has a little bit different tone than does the rest of his letters, say his letters to the Corinthians, which is a church that he founded. And the reason that he wanted to inoculate the church at Rome from bad theology, because he saw what bad theology can do to a church with the church at Corinth. They had some bad theology happening there. It was like, I'm saved, woohoo, I can party like a rock star because I'm saved. And those two letters to the church at Corinth are corrective measures. So Paul is writing to the church at Rome about these really deep theological issues, and part of what he writes about is prayer. So I'm going to read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Hear these words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And I have to add to this. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Paul makes a profound statement in verse 26. He says, we do not know how to pray as we ought. That's really profound. Really, if you stop and think about it. And it's not magic words. That's not what Paul's talking about. It's not like we're not like saying the right words. It's that we're human. And we're selfish. And we want what we want. And we can't really see through God's eyes, right? I mean, God is beyond time. God can be past, present, and future all at the same time. We can't do that. I mean, we don't really know what we should pray for. Now, we know what we want, right? We know what we want. But that is not necessarily what we need. What God is praying for, right? So we have these lists of wants. Dear Lord, let me win the lottery, and then I'll be happy. Because I'll have all this money, and I won't have to worry about anything. The truth is, we may know what we want, but we don't really know what we need, or what we may need in the future. We don't have God's eyes. The truth is, we don't really even know our own hearts as well as God does. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so we struggle with how to pray and what to pray for. And I don't know about you, but I can fool myself into thinking that the things I want are God's will. You ever done that? I have. We can all fool ourselves into thinking that we need something or want something, but the truth is, we need something altogether different. Now, most of us are grown adults here, but in Paul saying we don't know how to pray as we ought, we're much like our children. Your child wants to do something, right? He wants to eat that 15th cupcake, right? And you know this is not going to end well. And they think you're stupid because you won't let them eat the 15th cupcake, right? I mean, we've all had those experiences with our children where we know what's good for them, but they want something else. I mean, that's got to be how God feels with us when we send up these prayers. Dear God, let me win the lottery. Right. First, you got to buy a ticket, by the way, but We pray for things all the time that we want that might not be in line with God's will. And Paul says at the end of verse 26 and in the beginning of verse 27 that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He says that the Spirit knows our hearts and makes our prayers align with God's will. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, I kind of take it to understand that then when we pray these lousy prayers of selfishness and of our self-want, that the Spirit really knows what's in our heart and almost translates for us with God. I mean, the Spirit and God, they're the same, right? So they're in one accord. But the Spirit sort of knows our hearts and what really deep in our hearts we want. We may want to win the lottery because we think that will make us happy, but in our heart we want something else. And I think the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And then there's that famous passage from Romans 8:28. God makes all things work for good for those who love Him. We forget that passage sometimes, that part of that passage, right? Oh, God makes all things work for good. Well, no, for those who love Him. We've all had this experience, right? Where we've prayed something, we've wanted something, and then years later we look back and boy, I'm sure glad that didn't happen. Man, that would have been a disaster. We've all had that experience of God making good things come from bad decisions or bad experiences or bad things that have been done to us. I'm glad that God doesn't say yes to all the things that I ask for. What Paul is saying here is that prayer is of God. That when we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are opening our hearts to God. And despite the words that come out of our mouth or in our head, God knows what is in our hearts. Even if we can't make the words come out right. But I do believe that the words that we say out loud from our lips or even in our heads as we pray are important. Because they shape us. They shape our hearts. They can change us. I'm going to show you a clip from Bruce Almighty, one of the great theological movies of all time. Actually, I'm serious. I mean, there's some great theology that came out of Hollywood on this one. But Bruce he was a selfish guy. And he prayed for himself all the time. Prayed for signs, prayed for decisions, prayed for all kinds of things. Never prayed for other people. And so finally he has gotten to this place where he is yielding to God and he kneels down in the middle of the highway and says, basically, okay, God, I give up, take control. And he immediately gets run over by a truck. And he's now in heaven having a visit with God. So let's take a look.
You can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know, I created you.
Quit bragging.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark. do you want me to do? I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about? You want it back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone who'll treat her with all the love she deserved from me.
His heart was changed because of his prayer, because of the words that came out of his mouth. He realized that he had been so selfish, and now he actually prayed the most powerful prayer in the world, which is that for someone else other than yourself. I think those are the most powerful prayers in the world, as opposed to, "Dear Lord, I want," or "Give me," or "Protect me." Those are the most powerful prayers. Let me give you a real-life example of how prayer can change you. I've shared, I think, this once before, but my wife and I bought a company from some people years ago, and despite the best efforts of my lawyers and my accountants, they lied, and they cheated. And business that was supposed to be there actually had never been there. And my family was in a tight spot. It was not pretty. And there was some legal stuff that went back and forth. And I was mad. I was angry. I'd never before in my life had an enemy other than the evil one. These people became my enemy. I hated them. I was angry at them. And then my preacher went and preached about pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemy. And it spoke to me. And let me help you. Pray for your enemy is not, "Oh, dear mighty smiter, please smite my enemy." That's not what Jesus means. And so I decided that I needed to pray for these people. And I prayed out loud in the privacy of my bedroom. My wife was not around. And I'll never forget that first day I prayed for them. I didn't know what to pray. I mean, I wanted to pray, "Oh, mighty smiter, smite them." But that's not what Jesus wanted. And so that first night, I prayed out loud for them. And I have never in my life tasted words that were so rotten. Literally, there was a rotten taste in my mouth as I forced myself to pray for these people. I really didn't know what to pray. But night after night, I prayed. And I prayed. And my prayers came a little easier. And I began to understand that perhaps they didn't really know God very well. And my prayer came to be that that they would come to know God as I know God. Not that I have it all right, but that was my prayer. And I prayed that day after day after day after day. And pretty soon, no more bitterness, no more hatred, no more anger. I didn't love them, but I no longer had an enemy. That's a great place to be in life. To not have someone that you are angry at, or that you hate, or that is your enemy. And prayer changed my heart. That's why prayer is so powerful. That's why what we pray, the words that we say, even though we don't always get it right with God, they are important because they have an effect on us. On our hearts. If we pray, I believe our prayers will be answered. Sometimes it's no. Thanks be to God. But they are answered. And they are powerful. And they have the power to change us and to change others and to change this world. Pray in a way that you open your heart to the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit may do its work in you and in God. Let us pray.